This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Here we go. First pitch time, 8:31. And Jeter swings. It's a high drive to left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Derek Jeter hits a first ball fastball deep in the bleachers in left field. And on the first pitch of the game, the Yankees take a 1-0 lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan, 877-337-6666. Yeah, I was thinking about it. Would you rather have the battle? I'm looking forward to it. Something I've never experienced in my life as a fan. Knicks Sixers in the postseason.
Yeah.
Would you rather have that battle with that fan base or Knicks Miami, especially knowing that the Knicks, you know, probably could have handled Miami? Because, you know, we hate, you know, like I was thinking about it with what are those two guys who do the show down in Florida? Lebeturd and Ugats, I think.
Ugats.
Lebeturd and Ugats with those guys, like, you know, they're big Heat fan, I think.
Mm-hmm. Are they?
I think. I mean, they're in Miami. Lebeturd, I think, talks about Miami.
Ugats is a Heat fan?
Has
he embraced the Heat culture?
Yeah, well, he's from here. He wanted to be here, but he left. And, you know, he thinks he could come back and whatever, but he can't. He's just not good enough. So Lebeturd and Ugats. I think that it would have been fun to be able to beat those, you know.
That would have been
fun. Miami.
So who would I rather face? Philly. You know why? Those fans have more heart. That's why. So,
right, they're real sports.
They're fans.
They're like us.
You don't retire in New York and move to Philly. You retire in New York, move down to Florida.
Right.
So half the people down there are us.
Yeah.
So I think that it's going to be much more intense. And I've got a lot of the Heat organization. You have to respect the organization, Pat. You don't have to respect the way he left us with the stupid facts back in the day with Mike and Chris, but you do have to respect his basketball brilliance, and you have to respect Spoelstra, and you have to respect Butler, and you have to respect Zoe and Hardaway and all those guys that we used to battle with back in the day, but it's a different energy. It's what you tell me, what would be more fiery, Mets-Phillies or...
Yeah.
Mets Nationals.
Yeah.
It's just different, dude.
I'm looking forward to the Philly thing.
Me too.
It's a nasty, obviously, rivalry between New York and Philadelphia, but it's a fun one because we're so similar. Where there's that, even though we don't want to admit it, there is that respect there.
No doubt, because we're very similar. And to your point, I don't have any, now maybe it's about to start, I don't have any nastiness. Like, I understand my athletic, you know, as a fan, my plight, my journey. More of a plight. As a Jets guy, Eagles mean nothing. And we finally beat them for the first time ever this past year, ever.
Right.
I think the Jets were like 0-13, whatever it was. So, you know, Eagle fans are like indifferent to Jet fans, as they should be.
But you, that's
the
right.
Yankees
you really...
play the Phillies in the World Series.
Right.
They beat them.
Right, but you don't even really, it's not a, right, it's more Mets.
Yeah.
Mets-Giants. And now we're getting a little taste of Knicks. And Rangers-Flyers, too,
tired of Villanova winning championships when St. John's wasn't even getting out of the basement, you know. But now outside of that.
Now you better love Villanova.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, basically, all of Villanova.
Yeah, that's true.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Jose is calling from Newburgh. What's up, Jose?
Yo, we love Villanova now, man.
Yeah, it's right.
Yo, let me tell you something. I'm 45. This is the greatest New York Knicks point guard I've ever seen. It's just that simple.
Yeah, my favorite was another number 11, Derek Harper, but you can't
dispute. Derek Harper!
But you can't dispute Brunson's the best.
The best by far.
Yeah.
It's not even close. And this is the greatest Knicks team since Patrick Ewing. And this and let me tell you something about my man Action Brunson, which what I love.
Ooh.
That's what I call him. Come on, he needs a name.
I mean, it's really more Action Jackson. Shout out to Mark Jackson, but I got you.
All right.
I got you.
Yo, when Julius Randle went down and we all felt it, we were like, oh, man, what happened? What did he do? He just said, yo, I'm just going to drop 30 or 40 every night from now on.
Yes.
And he did it.
That's right.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And you see him towards the end of the game, you know the NBA, last 3-4 minutes. You know what I'm saying? He takes over. He's getting to where he needs to go. He's unstoppable. He is that guy.
I agree.
And all that, yo, we handled them during the season, didn't we? Didn't we beat them up a couple times?
Yeah, a couple times.
They kicked their rear ends. But it's again, that's the regular season.
This guy's hurt, and he's not Hakeem.
No.
This guy's coming, you know, he's not playing back-to-back. Let's see what happens. Well, we got energy, baby. We got hearts.
Yeah. See, the Knicks, I'm with you, Jose, and thank you for the call. The Knicks are a good team. People dismiss that if you don't watch him every night. And by the way, we're going to see it now. It's going to be proven. Either their team with their chemistry and their energy are going to win out. And by the way, they do have a superstar. It's more than that, to your point that you were saying earlier. And if you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. We talked a lot of Knicks in the first hour. You know, to your point, BT, they're more than just that chemistry or energy. But I firmly believe in that chemistry being a big factor in teams getting to the next level. That's what, to me, wins championships. Yes, talent, sure, but they have the talent and the team chemistry, playing together, fun, all those different things. Is it going to be enough to overcome the two of the three best players in the series being on the Sixers with Embiid and Maxey?
And Maxey, I think it will be. I'm on the record with that. I got Knicks in six. You know, there's this notion, and it's because of the style in which he plays. You know, sadly, if you're not above the rim, if you're not like 6'6", minimally, more like 6'8", 6'9", and yoked and shredded and jumping over people, like some people doubt whether or not your production is sustainable. But what makes Jalen Brunson so deadly is that he's the most fundamentally sound player that I think I've ever seen. Because if he's not in the NBA.
And he's a great player. Fundamentally sound, all
footwork,
that stuff.
Pump fakes.
That's got the desire, the will, the determination, and the heart.
Yeah.
Read that article that he wrote yesterday. Was it for the Players Tribune?
Yeah, I thought it was The Athletic, wasn't it?
Maybe the Athletic, whatever. I don't remember. It was the Players Tribune? Yeah. Read that article from Brunson. He tweeted it out. So go to Brunson's X account, whatever, and read it. And tell me that doesn't embody everything that you would want in an athlete. Like, after reading that, and I don't think it's hyperbole or overreaction, I think you could put Jalen Brunson on a short list of greatest athletes in this town ever. Now, obviously, you could rank however you want, 10, you know, 15 players, whatever you want to do, but he's on that list. Now, there are variations of success in this town.
Yep.
But as far as a guy who gets it, a guy who wants it, a guy who embodies everything that we believe in as sports fans in New York, he is it. He gets it.
Well, that's all right. So that's interesting. And I'm not going to shoot that down at all, because I've actually said that, you know, what I think he does in terms of winning impacts more than Ewing did. So I don't want to revisit that now. That's just to prove that what I think that you just said is not crazy. And think about, like, let's just engage with that for a moment. And not going back to Garrigan Rue. Like, keep it modern. Like, the last 25 years
or
so.
Yeah, well, who are the top guys? Like, Messier, Ewing, Eli.
Well, think about this.
Jeter,
okay, so was Eli ever one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL?
No.
Was Derek Jeter ever one of the 2, 3, 4, 5 best players in baseball?
Obviously Hall of Famer, but I get your point. Right.
Was David Wright or Jose Reyes? No. Was,
and by the way, I wouldn't even put them right.
Neither
maybe.
Would I. Okay. I hear you. I'm just kind of mentally going through. Now, here's the guys who jump out as those who were undeniably at number one or within the top three of their Lawrence Taylor is absolutely there. Patrick's not. I mean, I love Pat. Kim Olajuwon was better. Then Shaq came along. David Robinson.
But still, Ewing's got to be up there. I mean, he's a top 50 player
all
time. I know,
he is, but the list, they dropped that list 30 years ago. Yeah.
Well, but at the time, still, he was.
A lot of stuff happened.
When a lot of centers were. You know,
I know.
He also competed against the best of the best. Let's not make
and
this
he never
about
beat
Ewing,
him.
Though. Yeah, that's not true. But not
it,
never.
It is true. He beat Rick Smits. He never beat Michael Jordan. He never beat Kim Olajuwon. I'm not trying to knock Pat. The point is, like, there's no quarterbacks in my lifetime that have been the best quarterbacks. Jeter was A-Rod, but A-Rod was hopped up on drugs, PEDs.
Yeah, and he wouldn't make my top list of New York, you know, greatest New York athletes. I know what you're saying, and it depends on how you look at it. I'm looking at all-time legends in this town.
Brodeur?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, but he's Jersey. Like, that
so
doesn't
what?
Count. And even as a Jersey
resident.
You live
in Jersey.
Yeah, it doesn't count. It's still Jersey.
You know, it does.
Like, I'm a New Yorker, Long Islander, but now I live in Jersey. Yeah. So, like, even I knock myself a little bit.
Well,
like,
I'm not,
you know, I got to take a hit for that. I admit. I raise my hand.
You lived in Jersey for 2 weeks. Give it 2 years. You might have a different spin on those Devils.
You might be a Devils fan.
Hell, you're a Rangers fan and an Islander fan.
That is
May as well become a Devils fan now.
Yeah, you'd think they send us some stuff. I mean, my God.
Go root for Seton Hall. Go root for the Trenton Thunder, Trenton minor league baseball team.
If I were somebody listening in any organization, and by the way, we know that they do, I'd be like, man, these guys, or at least one of them, could be bought. Let me send over some merch.
Yeah, that's the one guy who could be bought. Yeah. That's true.
Send me
I'll
some
rock
jet
some cool stuff.
Send me a New Jersey, will you?
Yeah, I want to get back to something about Jeter, though. Let me get back to these calls here.
Brunson's up there, BC.
I know he is. I actually think, without trying to create a list here, because I could get redundant and crazy and it can just hijack the show, even though it's somewhat interesting. Maybe we do it off the air and we tighten things up at some point and then present it on air. My point is, I think that there's a ton of similarities in how Brunson plays with how Derek Jeter played. Like, again, Derek was never one of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 absolute best players in baseball, but he did it all the time.
And where would you rank him as far as New York sports lore?
Talking about Jeter?
Yeah.
It depends what the list is about.
Give me your top
three. Pure talents or
encompassing? No, definitely not pure talent.
My top three?
New York sports legends. You can give me a little more than three.
Okay, but from what year forward? I need that delineation.
Yeah,
give me a rough year. I'll do it quick.
In 1980? Yeah.
All right, from 1980 forward, Lawrence Taylor.
Wow, you're putting him up there automatically. Okay.
Lawrence Taylor's the best.
I get it.
Taylor, number one.
I mean, obviously some other issues involved there.
Understood. Lawrence Taylor, number one. I think Tom Seaver's got to be on that list. I do. I think Tom Seaver's got to be on that list.
Even post-1980?
Oh, that's right. Post-80. Yeah. My bad. Good catch. Yeah. All right. So, Taylor, no Jets. No Mets at that point. Brodeur. I'm going to do this right. Like, I'm not just going to check. Lawrence Taylor, Brodeur, and...
You give me five.
Jeter.
Okay.
That's three. Messier.
Yep.
Post 80. I think I've got to get an Islander on there, man. How do I not get Mike Bossy on there?
Got your list. You can put whatever you want on it.
Oh, gee, thanks. Thanks, Mr. PD.
Yeah, well.
I mean,
I did talk to Ryan, by the way. We have some things in the works.
Yeah. It's called your ouster. That's in the words.
It's called keeping employment.
Do you like the list? Did you jot down what I said or no?
No, I'm writing my own as we do this year.
All
right. But we agree on Jeter.
Yeah, Jeter's on the list.
Mark Messier, Lawrence Taylor. We agree on LT. I'm going to give you
Mike Bossy and Brodeur. I have more hockey players. That's crazy.
They've had maybe more success.
That's true.
You wouldn't put Mariano on there?
I forgot about Mariano. Yeah.
I'm not putting him on mine, but I think he's in the conversation.
He's got to be in the conversation.
Well, I'm talking about the best of the best. I'm going to go Jeter, not in any particular order.
Okay.
Jeter, and the point is that Brunson is making his way onto this list.
Yeah, let's make sure he wins the first round series.
He's not there yet, but he doesn't need a championship to get there.
I got you. Pat doesn't have one.
That's what I'm saying. Jeter.
Yep.
Messier. Ewing. All right, LT.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have Eli on there. I know why you wouldn't.
I know why you would.
Two Super Bowls, two all-time clutch, incredible runs.
You don't have to sell me as hard as you think. Get it.
So now winning. Now look, Jeter with all the World Series, Messier delivering the cup, Ewing is on there. He's the one that doesn't have the championship on
Lawrence
my list.
Lawrence is one of the three best football players of all time.
And obviously the Super Bowl, so you look at that. But Ewing's the Eli, we know what he did. Ewing's the only one, and he was that good and that impactful here that he could be on the list even without winning a championship. You know, the one final, two finals really, but
yeah,
one specifically.
He was compromised.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. But Brunson, he's that good. And Brodeur, I understand. I'm just leaving him off because of Jersey, whatever. But Brunson is that good that he is, to me, like already six or seven on this list of all-time great athletes in the last 50 years, basically.
I like how you do it. I got a really tough one for you. And we'll get back to these Nick calls here. It's along the lines of what we're discussing. Who had the better career? Let this one marinate for a little bit. Neither one won. Okay? Henrik or Patrick?
Yeah, I think, you know what? I left Henrik off there.
Who was the better?
That's a bad omission.
Who was the more impactful player in this city?
I think that they're equal.
I'll say Patrick.
I think that they're
close.
Equal. I might even venture to say, and you know how much I love Pat.
You going
to
go with the king?
Well, I might say that Lundqvist was better at what he did in his sport.
I can understand
that. You rank
that.
Him higher. When you're ranking all-time goalies, he might rank higher than Ewing does all-time centers.
What do you think? There's probably like 7, 8, 9 goalies all-time better than
maybe
the
not
king.
Even.
Are there 7, 8, 9 centers?
Lundqvist, by the way, that's a bad omission by me. Great catch by you. Yeah. He's obviously one of the names that's on that list.
Yep.
You want to put Mariano up there, Lundqvist has to be on there. Okay. Matter of fact, Lundqvist would probably be right now six, if not five.
Who, if you had to bump somebody to get Lundqvist on the list, who are you bumping?
I know I can't take LT
you
off of it.
You can't take him off.
But
stop.
For my, like LT was, obviously he was dominant, and yes, in my life, but I didn't have a real appreciation for him because he did a lot of his damage when I was a little too young to appreciate.
Well, that makes total sense. I got you.
So I would probably, Lundqvist was more impactful personally. Jeter, Messier, Ewing,
got
Eli.
Mm-hmm.
But we're nitpicking here. But whatever, we're talking about. Point is, Brunson, who's been here for a minute, is already working his way to being one of the great
New York sports figures
of all time.
He just gave us one of the all-time great New York sports seasons, encompassing every sport.
Anthony's in Harlem. What's up, Ant?
Hey, Ant.
Boys, what's up, man? What a beautiful time to be a Knicks fan.
Yeah, it's good.
This kid, Jalen Brunson, I don't know if he's the greatest Knick of all time, but he is my favorite Knick of all time. Okay? I read that article in the Players Tribune, Sal, and you hit it spot on, my man. He said in that article, I've held every role on the team, from the last guy to a role player to the top dog. He truly understands what it is to be a teammate and a leader. And, you know, all those guys you're talking about, LT and Jeter, those guys were all the top dog, the top draft pick. This kid came from nowhere. He was a second-round pick.
Yeah, second.
People scoffed at the Knicks. Remember the contract? They said, what an overpay.
They still do. You're right, Anthony. They did scoff. They continue to scoff.
Not at the contract, though.
No,
just
no,
as
not
to
the
where
contract,
he was,
but at him. Oh, he's too small. He's not good enough. Yeah, it's a nice story. But the other superstars, the real superstars, the big superstars, they're going to beat him. They still scoff at Brunson.
And that's why I love him, guys, because he's a team guy. He's a leader. And in that article, something interesting, just to segue to the Tibbs thing, he mentioned some players, and one of the guys he mentioned was Precious Achiuwa, BT. And I love Tibbs, but his rotations sometimes are a little weird. He buries guys on the bench.
A little bit.
And I don't understand why this kid Achiuwa is buried on the bench. When he played, all he did, he was a double-double machine.
Precious Achiuwa, thanks for the call there, buddy. When the Knicks were compromised and you really, truly watched the games, Precious Achiuwa was phenomenal. He was phenomenal. I mean, he was actually hitting threes, too, but, like, his work around the rim, he's just, you know, he was thought to be the throw-in. And I, you know, his brother played at St. John's, you know, God's gift, so I knew Precious a little, like, I knew probably a little more about him than maybe the average Knick fan, and I knew he'd bring something somewhat solid to the team, better than I thought. And that's probably that's probably more of a Leon Rose discussion. I mean, you know, here we are talking about Brunson, which is amazing. Who's making all these decisions? Who's giving Jalen Brunson a contract that everybody thought was irresponsible?
Yeah.
Who's getting OG Anunoby? And we love RJ, but RJ's not efficient enough. And getting Precious Achiuwa as a throw-in who had a real meaningful role for a month where the Knicks could have died. Who's doing all this? Leon Rose.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He's working his way up the ranks of great front office guys in New York sports.
He's already up on that list,
yeah,
for sure.
I know.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Acotta back on The Fan. To make this weekend even more special, BT, we mentioned that, you know, you have the Yankees, you got the Mets, you got the Islanders, you got the Knicks, you got the Rangers, but honoring John Sterling as well. And it's funny, as you know, you listen to The Fan, you hear all these clips from Sterling over the last week or so.
Yeah.
It is remarkable how many big games he is called. Obviously, the Yankees' success had a large part in that, but you also had the Doc Gooden no-hitter and the perfect games by Wells and Cone, like on and on and on.
Mm.
Man, I don't think anybody's ever going to top that run. Obviously, Sterling will be honored ahead of tomorrow's game at Yankee Stadium, so you get out there, you get to see John. John will be in the booth for one final time as well.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be an event out there in itself tomorrow, but I don't think anybody's ever going to top not only his longevity, not only his success and entertainment levels, but it's not even something he could control. Nobody can, but the success that the team had,
yes,
over his 36 years of calling the games.
Yeah, I mean, he was a soundtrack for just a generation of amazingness. It doesn't feel real. It almost seems like heavy because he didn't pass away, thank God. But when I say it doesn't feel real, I get in the car and I hear a totally different voice, which is a very skilled play-by-player. You know, depending upon who it is, whether it's Justin or others sitting in there and working with
Emmanuel
Susan.
Emmanuel Barbari does a good
Emmanuel.
Job. Yeah.
Great guy, working his way up, really good dude. Mm-hmm. I don't know Justin very well. Emmanuel's a good dude. And I wish, you know, whomever gets it, you hear a little Ruco, who I think is amazing. I knew Ryan from when he first started. Some other names out there. Burke is great.
He did it. Didn't Burke do some games last year or two
years
ago?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did. Burke is phenomenal. So, listen.
He's an excellent play-by-play guy.
He's very good. So, whoever gets it, it's going to sound very different, and after a year or a year and a half, whatever it is, it's going to sound like, all right, it's going to become normal, but right now it just doesn't sound bad. I'm not saying that. It just sounds different. And I don't think I was ready for different, not mid-season.
I hope.
I wanted to hear a lot of Soto bombs. I wanted to hear the Verdugo call, too.
Yeah, I
wanted to see if he implemented what I said.
Yeah.
How do you do?
Yeah, you forced him into retirement.
That's what people are saying. Don't drop that on my doorstep. I can't live with myself if that's the case. That's too much for me to bear.
I might have to ask Jack, get him on one more time and just confirm that wasn't, in fact, the case. That he
didn't, I hope it wasn't,
step away because he was done. You were the nail in the coffin there.
The impetus behind his early hasty retirement.
I know we'll carry everything, I'm sure, on The Fan, so you can listen to it too. I hope they show it. I'm assuming they will, but I don't know that that's going to be the case because I'm not going to the game. Yeah.
Oh, they'll show it all, 100%.
Okay, I'm not going to the game.
Nice they're going to show it, yeah.
BT and Sal on The Fan, and of course, the main event tomorrow night, Knicks Sixers game one. Orit is calling from Queens. Orit?
Yes, sir.
What's up, Orit?
Listen, Brandon. I have a bone to pick with you, man.
Go for it, sir.
Listen, how do you come better?
What happened?
Hello?
Uh-oh, the phones die?
What are the Knicks record with Bronson Randall and Nobi in the lineup?
Hey, Orrin, I'm sorry. You actually dropped out for a sec. Just give me a quick reset of your point. I want to make sure I give you an answer. Go ahead, bud.
My point is, I don't think that there's any team in the East that had any chance. One team had a chance. Boston. That beaten the Knicks with Randall in this lineup.
Oh, with Randall, yeah.
The only reason why any team have any chance is because Randall is not playing right now.
Well, but it depends. Yeah, but Orrin, hold on a sec, bud. Orrin, I mean, that sounds good, but did you watch Randall in the postseason a couple of years? Like, he's not good. And this is not to knock Julius Randle, but let's not recreate the way the man played. He was incredibly inefficient, and I don't know. Well, I know I haven't, and I'm sure some historian could probably back this up. I don't know if there's ever been a star, and he's definitely, you know, first team, second team All-NBA, third. I mean, he's made a couple of All-NBAs here, so he's a star. Show me a star whose play disintegrated to the degree that it did with Julius Randle. I know he had nobody around in the first year.
So forget the first one because he had nobody around him.
Understood.
All right, so
still hit some open jump shots, which he never did.
This was supposed to be the deciding year, and unfortunately it's not going to be. I'm with Orrin. I mean, I'd feel better about the Knicks' chances going in. I know that, you know, that's not popular opinion. I really don't care. Yeah. I feel like
you
the
might
Knicks
be right,
better.
By the way. I'm not happy that he's gone. Right. I'm just saying that I think that there's still a path to win a lot of series without Randall.
I agree with that.
Oh, that's all I'm saying.
But that is different, though. But do you think that they're better without Randall?
I think that they could be better.
And that's where I disagree. Yep. So we're going to find out how far they could go, and I'm still not putting a ceiling on them because I didn't think they would be the 2 seed in the regular season, hence the no ceiling. I did put a ceiling on. Once Randall and Anunoby went out, I said, that's it. The Knicks are going to be a 6-7 seed if they're lucky. They're going to play in game or have a tough matchup in the first round and be done. And they weren't, even without Julius Randle, who's now been ruled out, obviously, for the season. They get Anunoby back, but Brunson carried this team to a 2 seed. So I can't put a ceiling on them because I didn't think they were going to do this. They've already blown off the ceiling that I put on them. I can't put another one on top. Too expensive. So you can't put another roof on top of them. So I think that they could still go far in the postseason. However, I'd feel better about their chances. I would think that they're legitimate championship contenders if they were fully healthy with Julius Randle.
I think Randle gets in Brunson's way a little bit.
Sal is calling from Westchester. What's up, Sal?
Hey, Sal. What's going on, Brandon? How you guys doing?
Sal, what's cooking, buddy?
Hey, real quick, could I say something about Gooden's no-hitter before I get to my point?
Yes, of course. Great Yankee member, yes.
I was at Gooden's no-hitter with a good friend of mine, my buddy Ramo. We got the tickets because it was like a rain check ticket. So they gave us the ticket to that game. We got to the game a few minutes late.
Okay.
As we were walking to our seats. It was in the first inning. I don't know if it was the first out or the second out, but Gerald Williams was playing center field. Gerald Williams stole a base hit right off the bat in the first inning.
Uh-huh.
We'll go back and look at the tapes.
I know. And he made another play. He made another play going toward the wall and said, Gerald made 2 big-time plays that game.
Yeah, that was an awesome game. One of my favorite games I've ever been to. I've been to 1,000 of them.
I was actually watching that game in college on TV.
Yeah, that's great, man. You know, I miss the old Yankees, man. You have no idea. Sal, I know you miss them, too.
Bro. Oh, yeah, really.
But anyway, listen, I'm calling you guys. You guys had me cracking up before with this Ugas. Do you know Ugas? Do you know?
Well, we didn't really. I mean, I met him once, but, yeah, I didn't really get a chance.
No, I'm not talking about the actual guy. Do you know what Ugas is? Like, if somebody said
nothing.
To you, Sal,
Ugas. You got nothing. All right, Ugas, nothing.
No, that's not nothing.
Yes, it is.
Ugatsu, it's spelled U-C-A-Z-Z-U, Ugatsu. And Sicilian, they pronounce the C as a G. So that's where you get the Ugas from.
Uh-huh.
Ugas is the male private part. It's like a male rooster.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly what that fits, means.
That fits for what I was using it for as well, then.
Brandon, you got to start calling Sal Facha de Guts.
This guy.
Sal sounds
like a trick. By the way, things change all the time.
Should we hit the dump on that?
Dove's like, what do I do? I'm getting hit with languages here. So, I mean, but they, listen.
I don't think that's a curse word. I remember one. I'm not going to say it on the air.
I remember my grandfather dropping them left and right. The words kind of change. I mean, think about this. Maybe you do. I don't think you do, but I'm sure some people do. Like, you don't say, may I have a pound of mozzarella? You say mozzarella.
Mozzarella.
Do you want Monte Carlo or do you want Manny Cotti?
That's what I was thinking of. Facci Brut.
Yeah.
So whatever he said there, maybe it was something else.
But it was all right. Marigot or manicotti. Like, I think that just the origin or maybe the development of the usage of the word ugatsu. Oh, what do you say? I know to say it becomes like a Z or a G. Ugatsu?
Yeah, whatever.
I just say ugats
means nothing.
Yes.
Even when I was growing, like, ugats.
You get nothing.
They get nothing.
Yeah.
You get ugats.
How'd you do at the craps table last night? Did you win? Nah, I got ugats. Nothing. I mean, that's what I think it means.
That's
what
I'm saying, just for clarity. And by the way, in case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. We were talking about it before. I was talking about maybe it'd be better off if the Knicks played the Heat, because then we could have some fun with Lebatard and Ugats.
That's correct.
And then they do a show down in Miami, whatever,
correct,
the big Heat fans. That's all that it came from. That's the origin of the usage of Ugats on this particular
And without
program.
Jimmy Butler, they will really get Ugats in the next series.
877-337-6666. BT and Sal on the field. We'll hear from Joe Douglas coming up in a little bit.
Hey, what did my boy say?
Well, we'll get into some Mets and Yankees.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A lot going on here, but Knicks front and center as they get set for game one tomorrow evening.
Come on, Joe. Don't be afraid to draft the tight end. We want Bowers. We want Bowers. All right.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Here comes a throw home. He's going to be out at home. Oh, what a throw by Soto.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on The Fan, 877-337-6666. We'll hear from Joe Douglas. He spoke today. Remember, yesterday we carried Joe Shane. We'll hear a little bit from Joe Douglas with the 10th pick in the draft where the Jets should go. We'll do that coming up in a little bit. We get the Yankees. You know, there is something I did want to get to, BT, with the Yankees and the Mets. I saw an article this morning from the Post with John Heyman writing about Soto and Alonso.
Saw it. Explain it for those who didn't.
Potentially changing places in the offseason. Now, this is nothing new. You and I have, in fact, discussed this very thing, just the possibility of it, many times. But when John Heyman writes it, you know, Heyman is a little more insider. He's got his contacts and all that stuff. And not that he wrote that it was going to happen, but the fact that it would be a possibility. So I ask you, as a Yankee fan, would you be okay if, let's say, the Yankees couldn't afford Soto or didn't want to go to that extent? And then, as Heyman wrote, like, Alonso would be a realistic possibility as a fallback option in the event the Yankees are going to make Soto their number one priority. But if they do lose him, they could go after Pete Alonso.
Yeah, I want nothing to do with Pete Alonso. Sorry. I just don't. Not interested. Not interested at all.
Now, I think that that's one scenario that both Yankees fans and Met fans would be disappointed with. Even if the Mets got Soto, Met fans would not be happy unless it was Soto and Alonso.
Yeah, that's a good point, because they would be sad that their guy is gone, and then look where he went. And by the way, this will never happen.
You don't think so, huh?
No.
Remember,
way.
I did tell you a while ago, it was just dating back over the winter, whatever, I told you that the source... One of my sources.
About Pete wanting New York, but maybe wanting the Yankees more than the other side of New York.
I don't know about wanting him more, but it wasn't like he wasn't open to the idea.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not doubting that Pete's open to staying here and that he wants to stay with the Mets and that he might be open to moving to the Yankees. I'm just telling you, I'm not interested in Pete Alonso. I'm just not. Not at 30 years old. Not when you have Judge locked up for 8-9 more years. And nope, not when he's an average first baseman. Not interested.
And I got to tell you, this is me now being unbiased broadcaster, as I normally am, but I'm going to differentiate for this conversation specifically. I do think Juan Soto was a better fit for the Yankees.
Yeah, you said that.
And I think that the Yankees need to do whatever they can to keep him. It's the perfect fit. They can't afford to lose him. They need him and Judge in that lineup for the next 5, 10, however many years. Soto will obviously be here beyond that. Mm. But I'm talking about with Judge specifically. The Yankees need to keep Juan Soto. I actually think it's good for baseball to have the Yankees have those marquee guys together. They're the Yankees again, the, you know, the evil empire, all that. They need to keep Juan Soto. Now, the Met fan in me wants the Mets to go after him. And by the way, they should.
Oh, they're going
to
go after him.
And even the broadcaster would be like, the Mets should go after him. He's
they're
available.
Going to.
Yeah, go get him. I don't think he'd be as good of a fit with the Mets. I'd be excited about it.
Yep.
I think he'd still be great. I don't think Juan Soto would be as good of a fit. By the way, I still think it's going to happen. I still think Soto is going to go to the Mets because I believe the Mets are going to offer the most money. But I think he just fits better with the Yankees. And there's no way the Yankees, you talk about how you get on the Knicks if they lose this series. Mm-hmm. If the Yankees ever lost Juan Soto specifically to the Mets, that's not one you could recover.
No, that would be, it's not acceptable, which is why.
Even if it ends up with Pete Alonso, it doesn't matter.
No, there's nothing to soften that at that point. Even if you get a couple of those great pitchers that were hitting the market, no way. I disagree pretty much with everything you just said. Number one, and this is nothing new. I mean, if you're new to the show, maybe it's new for you, but I don't think there's any chance. Well, I shouldn't say any. I don't think he's leaving the Yankees. I don't think he's going to the Mets if he did leave the Yankees.
You think he'd go outside of New York?
I don't know. But I just like, I don't see him leaving the Yankees to go to the Mets. And the other thing just that I would describe with a little bit, and I don't think he's a better fit for the Yankees. And this is just a compliment to Soto's transferable talents. I think anywhere he goes, he's a great fit because he's a great player. The thing about the Judge and Soto stuff, I'm intrigued to watch it. I hope it continues. But I could almost make a case, and yeah, it would be fun to see them do damage while Judge is still in his prime, however many years that is. But I think it's almost as important, if not more important, that Soto is a Yankee for Volpe, for Dominguez, for Spencer Jones, etc.
Agreed.
Almost more so than Judge.
Yeah.
Judge can handle his business by himself.
Yeah, I agree. And I would say that he's more important to the Mets because the Mets need a superstar. However, if you're telling me now, even if Alonso's in play to remain a Met and they get Soto, I still think Soto fits better with the Yankees lineup. But now you're telling me that it might be Soto or Alonso. While I know that Soto's the better player, I don't think that that's nearly enough for the Mets to get to that next level.
But you would make that, you would hit that button today to make that happen. Bye-bye, Pete. Hello, Juan. You would do that as a Mets fan. Come on, what are you even thinking about?
No, well, here's what I'm thinking about. There's a lot to this. Now, again, if you ask me who's the better player, I love Juan Soto. I think Juan Soto's the better player. But I think the Mets need a legitimate superstar to go with Lindor and Alonso.
Yeah, no,
to
I
be
get
the
that
one,
part.
They need a number one star over those guys, not in place of their premier home run hitter. Because Juan Soto's not going to hit 40 home runs with the Mets. So he's going to get on base. That's what he always does. He'll hit some home runs, sure. But when Juan Soto inevitably takes his walks and gets on base, who is going to be driving him in? I mean, you're talking about Alvarez taking that next step. Are we sure that that's going to be the case and replace Pete? Like, you don't just replace. Pete Alonso's got all-time great consistent power. That's a fact. It's been a league since 2019. Like, the one thing you can't knock him for is his power.
True.
It's there every year. That hasn't been a fall off. A little bit with the average last year. Defense, you can mock, whatever, get on that. You
want to talk about terror. I don't mock it. It's just,
well, whatever.
It's slightly
you
above average.
You want to get on that, that's fine. You cannot get it. Like, every year he plays, first of all, he plays every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to hit 40 home runs minimum.
No question.
So that's hard to replace.
Yeah, but you haven't won anything with that. Now, I'm not saying that that's his fault.
I mean, they did win 101 games.
I get that. This is what, season five, season six for Alonso here? They've been, outside of 1 year, they've been a bad team. Now, this year is changing, so I'm not counting
this
year.
Do you think the Mets, let's say Alonso's out. Let's say it is one or the other.
Okay.
And they go hard after Soto. You know, they love the younger guys, all that, all those different
things. I think they're better with Soto than they are with Alonso.
Okay, right. But do you think a Mets team with Soto, Lindor, Alvarez, Beatty, all the younger guys. You
Jack
think
Williams,
that
maybe these other Cunha.
You think they project better moving forward, short term, long term, without Pete Alonso?
Yeah.
I just don't know where you're making that power.
Pete's a one dimensional player. This isn't 1980.
Yeah, but you still need home runs. You still need power.
I know, but I prefer a little speed. I prefer a little average. I prefer a little gap to gap. I prefer a little bit more that he gives you. What he gives you is What he gives you is Ralph Kiner. Like Ralph Kiner is a power hitter. That's a huge compliment, what he did with the Pirates, Ralph.
And I'm not saying that Judge is the same as Alonso. He's not. We all know what Judge is as a player, although Judge obviously off to an awful start this year.
Better wake up starting this weekend. I got you.
I mean, you look up all of a sudden before you know it, maybe Judge ends the year hitting 260, and for him, that's Now you're coming down to Alonzo's level with the average.
I think 260 is in play, by the way. I don't think that's crazy.
Okay, but if Judge
But Pete hit 225 last year, not 260.
Understood, but Pete's, you know.
Yeah, yeah, he's closer to 260.
Judge hits 260 and 50 home runs. Well, Alonzo does that.
Yeah.
And Judge getting older and gets banged up, whatever. Again, I'm not trying to compare the two players. But if you take Judge off the Yankees, don't you think that minimizes what Soto
No. I'll tell you what, I know you do. And I completely disagree, yeah. But just tell, so you know why we disagree fundamentally, because the value, the trickle down residue that the rest of the lineup feels from Juan Soto's mere presence is so much greater than that of Pete, even Judge to an extent. He makes pitchers grind. I can't point to more than that.
I get that. But if I paint the scenario that you don't have Judge behind him in that order, instead you have Stanton and Rizzo, and even if Dominguez does come back,
but you're not going to have those guys forever. You're acting like Stanton's going to be here for six years and Rizzo's going to be here for three. Rizzo's probably gone this year.
But I'm taking Judge off the team.
But you don't have to. Judge is on the team.
I know that, but I'm giving you the hypothetical because you're saying the Mets would be better off with Soto opposed to Soto and Alonzo.
I do.
But if you take Alonzo out, if you take Judge out, now you don't have that power guy to drive him in.
Yeah, no,
when he gets on. What is Soto's greatest asset as a player?
Always on base.
Getting on base. Therefore, you need somebody behind him to drive him in.
I know what you're saying. When you break it down like that, that's why I say you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I just don't latch on to that as a real thing that I would hang my hat on. Like, It's just deeper than that, and it is like he's unique. He just faces so many pitches.
Who do you think needs Soto more, Mets or Yanks?
Who need the Mets? Because the Mets don't have the lineup the Yankees do. Like, the Mets need more good players than the Yankees because the Yankees have more good players than the Mets.
Right, but if you take Soto off the Yankees,
I think the Yankees probably still have a better lineup. It's closer. It's much closer.
I mean, but all the talk is this is the Soto effect. The Yankees are different this year because of Juan Soto.
Yeah, but Dominguez is coming back too. That's part of it. By the way, it's close. I'm not saying that the Yankees buy a landslide over the Mets there.
You answered it rather quickly.
Well, because I think that the Yankees is the answer. That's why I answered it quick.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Let's get back to your calls here on the Knicks ahead of game one tomorrow. Roosevelt is calling from Staten Island. What's up, Roosevelt?
Morning, guys. Hey, big fan of the show. Quick story. I got a chance to watch Brunson and Stark at an MBPA event at Rucker Park last summer do a three-point competition.
Stark took him out.
Beat him. I will say that.
Oh, no. Come on.
Yeah. I know. But I went there looking for Stark, and I argue with other Knicks fans about this. You know, I love Brunson just like everybody else. I think he's an amazing player, beautiful to watch. But with 5 seconds left on the game clock, and the last couple games where he's had an opportunity to win the game, and going into the playoffs, are you guys giving the ball to Brunson to win the game?
I'm going to start what I'm going to draw. That's a good question. And by the way, Carmelo's efficiency at that point, not nearly as good as you think. Missed a ton of big shots. All right. So I'm going to draw up the play. I'm going to pretend I'm Tom Thibodeau. We're down by one. There's 9 seconds left. He's not going to inbound the ball. Let's say it's OG or DiVincenzo. Boom. Brunson gets the ball. 9 ticks to go. What am I doing? Well, the first thing I've got to incorporate is that I've got to know that they're going to run a double team at Brunson to try to get him to give up the ball. So you've got to anticipate that, which Tom Thibodeau obviously will, and so will Brunson. You inbound the ball, Brunson gets it, boom, 9 seconds, two guys run at him, and I trust him. It's not about making the shot as much as it is making the right decision. And I'm going to leave it at that. I trust Jalen Brunson to a lot more than not make the right decision.
Would you say that may be the biggest area of concern? Knicks down a bucket, end of game. No, you know, they don't have that second option.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
With Randle, that's where, and I know what you're going to say, you know, Randle doesn't have the ability or hasn't shown the ability to make that tough decision.
He's stuck some game winners. Remember, in Miami from the baseline last year, the three?
Yes, but Bullpen turnover.
I don't trust him there.
That's what I'm saying. Or not making the right decision.
I don't.
He can make the shot.
Yeah.
He may not make the right decision and he may be a little sloppy with it, but I'd still rather have him be there. And I feel like, okay, when you have those two guys, those two stars, those moments, tight playoff games, what you expect them to be, that's where they're really going to miss Randle, because at the very least, it would keep the defense honest. Where now, if I'm Nick Nurse in the Sixers, I say, all right, well, I'm going to double or triple Jalen Brunson,
yep,
force him into a spot where he's got to get rid of the ball in an uncomfortable way, mm-hmm, and make somebody else beat him.
No, I get that. That's a good basketball thought. True. Even if Randall's 2-for-13, you got to respect him. So you're not going to be as reckless, right, with the, forget about, you know, a third defender who you Knicks, could flash out of. I get that.
And they don't have that creator. That's
well,
the
Brunson's
other problem.
A creator.
Yeah, outside of Brunson. Like, well, DiVincenzo can shoot.
Okay.
Is he going to create? And
yes, I actually
shoot.
Think Dante's a decent creator.
Well, he's going to have to against the best of the best in the postseason. Because Ananobi, is he a creator? No, he's a shooter. These guys,
he's more
strength.
Of a shooter. That's he's not much saying. Of a creator. Okay, so let me ask
you
this.
Give me the, go ahead.
We always go back to the comparisons to the 94 Knicks. Who was creating for the 94 Knicks? Derek Carper was 33.
Yeah, but that was their biggest reason for not winning a championship.
But they still got to the finals. Yeah. And if Patrick would have played better instead of shooting 37%, maybe they would have won. Or if Starks didn't go 2-for-1,000, maybe they would have won.
Why can't you help yourself and not knock those Knicks? You can't help yourself.
I'm not knocking them.
You're ripping that's like a dagger in my heart. Dismiss the Mets all you want.
Yeah.
I can't
you
have
take
you.
Take it personally when I start doing this. Well,
Ewing and Starks, like, is that because you're a little bit older than me? I don't understand why you, like, I'll admit, I am biased with those guys. I love them.
Yeah.
I love that. I don't care what Starks did in Game 7. I don't care that he missed a shot in Game 6. I don't want to hear about Ewing getting outplayed by Olajuwon.
Which he did. He got destroyed.
No, I don't
so why
hear
do
it.
I do this? You want me to give you the answer? Because generally, I'm more honest with things that I love. There's the answer.
Now, like, now hold on a second.
If I don't really care about something or somebody, I don't really feel the need to tap too deeply into my heart. I love those Knicks as much as any team or players I've ever loved, and I'm going to give you the honest answer. Patrick got smoked,
and
everybody knows it.
Understood. I got to give you my honest answer on what you just said.
What?
Do you remember us talking about the Jets?
With the unkillable stuff?
Come on. What? Any of it. You're honest with the things you love. I would argue you love the Jets more as much as any other team.
Yeah, and I was not honest when I was like defiant that the season was over.
Yes.
Well, but that was
and then
but
the
think
week
about
after,
it. Well, hold on, hold on.
The week after that.
Okay, I appreciate the pushback, but that was more preemptively addressing what I thought might happen. I'm talking about the speech.
Six or seven.
No, I know, but I'm talking about the speech, not the other
stuff.
Yes. Like the speech, that was my way before things actually went down. That's what, as crazy as it was, and I know it was crazy, that's what I felt. What I'm talking about now is a 20-plus year reflection, honestly, transparent view of how Patrick got punked.
Stop! Patrick got punked. I always thought our biggest disagreement would be about the Yankees and the Mets. It is ultimately going to be about your disrespect.
It's not
for
disrespect.
Patrick Ewing.
Well, then I would say that it's your lack of honesty toward Patrick Ewing.
Fair enough. I will admit.
I'm not being disrespectful.
He's one of the greats of all time.
I acknowledge that. I had posters all over the room. I love Pat. I love him. So, but I think my take is more accurate with what actually transpired.
BT.
Put down the pom-poms, little fanboy.
BT.
Our boy got destroyed by number 30 by Olajuwon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.